If you would, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. If you have it, say amen. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, very familiar portion of Scripture, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Read it one more time. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about the life of Samson. Could we do that just for a moment? Would you go to the Lord and pray with me one more time, and let's just ask God to anoint us as we study His Word tonight. Dear God, we just ask for a mighty outpouring of Your Spirit and anointing upon this vessel, Lord, to preach the Word of God. And I just ask, Lord, that You would come by, oh Lord, and just give me the unction from the Holy Ghost to preach Your Word with boldness and with love. And I pray that You would touch the hearts and lives of these young people that are here tonight, that You might touch them, Lord, and somehow instill in them and ingrain in them the words that are spoken here tonight, the words that are read from Your Word. And I just ask, God, that You would have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Now, most of us already know the story of Samson, and we only have a few minutes here, so we're going to try to hurry and get through this. But Samson, he had taken a Nazarite vow for his entire life. Now, the Nazarite vow was something that men in the Bible days, they would take, and they would consecrate a certain portion of time to God. And they wouldn't do several things. They wouldn't shave or cut their hair. They wouldn't drink of anything such as wine, anything off the fruit of the vine. And they consecrated themselves entirely for the service of God. And if you were to look at a man that was on the Nazarite vow, you could tell him apart from everybody else. He was someone that was separated unto God. And the Bible tells us that Samson, he had a lifelong Nazarite vow that he had taken to honor the Lord. And unfortunately, Samson, if we read about his life, he gets distracted among a lot of sinful things and worldly things that distracted him from the will of God for his life. Now, one thing, young people, that we see that Samson began to do, and many of you here have done the same thing, and that's that Samson began to dishonor his parents and disobey his parents. Now, you might think, well, it's okay if mom and dad doesn't find out about it. It's okay if I just do everything and behind their back and they never know. As long as they never know, then it's okay. I won't be in trouble. But I'm here to tell you that right is always right and wrong is always wrong. It doesn't matter if anybody finds out what you did. It doesn't matter if mom and dad know what kind of things you have hidden in the closet, what kind of CDs or DVDs you have. What matters is that God knows exactly what you have because He sees your heart. Now, Samson, he began to date some ungodly women. And you pay attention to this, young men. One of the greatest downfalls of Samson's life was his dating life. He couldn't keep his eyes off of those pretty girls, but unfortunately, those girls weren't Christians. And they led him down a path that led him ultimately into death. Now, his parents were godly men and women, man and woman, and they advised him not to date women from the Philistines, and they advised him to stay away from those things. But Samson had a mind of his own and decided, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to date whoever I want to date. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. But there's a scripture in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee." And if you look at the life of Samson, his days were cut short because he disobeyed his mother and his father, and the honor of God was taken upon from off of his life. Samson ignored his instructions of his parents and died young. Now, because of his disobedience, he began to neglect his Nazarite vow. You look in Judges chapter 14, starting in verse 5, it says, "And Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath." Now, let's just stop right there. Now, Samson had taken a Nazarite vow. Now, what was he doing going through the vineyards of Timnath when he wasn't allowed to partake of anything that was from the fruit of the vine? You see, he wasn't necessarily going out and sinning, but he was just seeing how close he could get to it. And many of you here tonight, God's put a call upon your life just as He did with Samson, but yet you're playing around with sin. You might not be committing actual sins, but you're just seeing, how close can I get to the edge without actually falling off? How close can I get to sin? How far can I go with that girl? How far can I go with that boy without actually falling into sin? How bad of a movie can I watch without actually feeling convicted? How bad of things can I do without actually falling off the wagon? But what you don't realize is that you're going cold in your spirit towards God, just as Samson did. But it says here that a young lion roared against him. But here's the grace of God. It says here that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he rent him as if he would a kid or a goat, and he had nothing in his hand. Samson just rent that lion in two with his hands through the power of God. But listen here, the next portion of this scripture. It says here, but he told not his father nor his mother what he had done. Samson knew he was doing something he shouldn't have done. How many of you here tonight have done something you knew you shouldn't have done, and the last person you wanted to tell was mom or dad? You did something, you thought, oh, goodness, if mom and dad knew what I did, I would be dead right now. How many know what I'm talking about? But that's exactly what Samson was doing here in the vineyards of Timnath, messing around with things he shouldn't have been messing around with. And when that lion jumped out at him, thankfully the grace of God didn't let him die right then, but he gave Samson the power to overcome that lion. But he said, you know what, I'm just going to leave this story out. Mom and dad aren't ever going to find out about this story here, because they would scold me probably for going through the vineyards of Timnath, because I'm not supposed to be touching anything that's from the fruit of the vine. He was just seeing how close he could get to the things he wasn't supposed to be doing without actually being overcome with it. But then it goes on further. How many of you know that sin never stops? Sin will never say, okay, you've sinned enough, I'm going to leave you alone. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Going on here in Judges 14, after he goes to Timnath, he says, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her. But listen here, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Now, in his Nazarite vow, part of that vow was that he was not to touch any dead thing. He had to keep himself separated from the things that were dirty. Amen. Can you say, you know what? A Christian needs to keep themselves separated from ungodly things and things that are dirty. But Samson, he said, I'm going to go back and see what that carcass looks like. Man, I've hunted many times, and maybe I can relate to what Samson was thinking about. He had killed that old lion. He said, I want to go back and see what that lion looks like. He's probably beginning to rot. He's probably beginning to stink right now. I'm just going to go take a look at him. Nothing's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt anybody to go look at him real quick. No one's going to know about this. And so he goes up there to the vineyard once more, and he looks at the lion, and the Bible says that the lion, let's find our place here, that a swarm of bees had come into the lion, and he saw the swarm of bees and thought, oh, there's some honey right there. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with eating honey, folks, but it was something wrong with him touching that dead animal, because he had taken a vow to God that he wouldn't do that. And the Bible says that he went into that dead carcass, and he pulled out the honeycomb and began to eat of it. Once again, breaking his Nazarite vow, getting closer and closer to things that were wrong, getting closer and closer to doing sinful things. That's how many of you are here tonight. Now, you listen to me. You think, oh, these are just little piddlywink things. They don't amount to anything. But it has a snowball effect. You might start off with just one little thing. You say, I'm just going to give in to this one little temptation. No one's going to know about it. I'm not going to tell mom. I'm not going to tell dad. I'm not going to tell pastor. I'm not going to tell Sunday school teacher. I'm just going to go out and just watch that one movie at the theater. Nobody's going to see me. Nobody's going to know about it. I'm just going to go out and go have some fun tonight. Mom and dad think I'm over at a friend's house, but, oh, it's okay. No one's going to get hurt over it. I'm going to go out and just play this one game. Just going to go out and buy that one movie, whatever it might be. There's 100,000 different things we could talk about here tonight, but the point is, if you know you're not supposed to do it, that the Bible says that to you it is sin. Amen. And the Bible also says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Samson knew to do good, but he didn't do it. Samson, if you read about his life, the things he starts doing gets worse and worse. It doesn't seem that bad walking through a vineyard, does it? It doesn't seem that bad touching a dead animal. Doesn't seem like it's that sinful, but it was a slow progression, or degression, I should say. But Samson ultimately begins to defile his purity, and he takes up a girlfriend of the enemies of God, Delilah, one of the Philistines. In fact, the very people that God had raised Samson up as a judge over Israel to defeat were the Philistines. And here, Samson is going out and flirting with them and dating one of them. And it says in Judges chapter 16, verse 1, it says that then went Samson to Gaza and saw a harlot and went in unto her. In just two chapters here in the Bible, Samson goes from walking through a vineyard to defiling himself with a harlot. And that's exactly the very intention of the devil for every one of your lives here tonight, is just to get you doing little bitty things. If he can just get that hook in your mouth. Now, I like to fish. Who likes to fish here tonight? Amen. All right. Good group of folks. Amen. Now, I like to fish, and the way that you fish is you get that lure, you put it on the hook. Now, if you just threw that hook out there, most likely you wouldn't catch that big bass or that big catfish, because they're smart enough not to bite that hook. But if you take that hook and you put some bait on it real good, especially if you do some crappie fishing and different things, that requires some finesse fishing. You've got to hide that hook in there, Brother Sweeney. And you've got to hide that hook just right where that fish only sees the lure. And he begins to get closer and closer. And you're popping that lure back and forth. And you're making it look like it's the real thing. And tempting that fish just to bite it. And he gets closer and closer to it. And sometimes that old catfish will begin to nibble on that worm sometimes. And you can feel that string just tugging. And you just give him some line. You give him some line so he just takes more and more of it. That's what the devil does to you when he feels you starting to bite. He just starts giving you more and more line. Letting you swallow it. Look. And that's what the devil plans on you doing. And that's exactly what Samson did. He began to grow cold in his spirit to the point that he didn't even know if God was in his life or not. He couldn't tell the difference. You see, the devil never shows us the end of the story. If the devil were to show you what the outcome of alcohol was, there wouldn't be nobody to take a drink of alcohol. If the devil were to show you this is what alcohol does, it's a mangled wreck, it's a ruined life, it's heartache and trouble. If the devil were to show you what immoral lifestyle is all about, of disease and of family problems and different things, and nobody would ever partake of those things. But the devil always gives you a lure that looks like it's the real thing. It looks like it's something totally harmless, but what you don't see is the hook that's inside of that lure. Sin has a blinding, desensitizing effect. You know, if you buy a new pair of shoes, they're usually pretty uncomfortable right at first. And that's usually how it is when you first start to sin. It's real uncomfortable at first. But you know what? If you keep those shoes and you keep on walking in them for a few days, a few weeks, your feet will callous over. And where that prodding was on your foot telling you this is hurting, you shouldn't be doing this, that you'll get a callus right there, brother. You'll get a callus right there, sister, and you won't even notice that prodding anymore. And that's exactly what sin does to your heart. You start sinning, start doing something you're not supposed to be doing, and the Holy Spirit starts pricking your heart, saying you shouldn't be doing this. It's hurting you. You need to get away from it, but you keep on walking in it. Keep on walking in that sin, and pretty soon, the callus begins to form over where the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And after a while, you don't even realize that you're sinning anymore because you become callous to it. We see that Samson loses his anointing. And I would tell you, young people, if you ever want to do something for God, you have to stay away from sin. If you ever want to have anointing upon your life to preach or to teach or do anything for God, you've got to keep sin out of your life. You can't expect God to bless a vessel that has sin inside of their life. And we see here that Samson, after all these things, that he loses his anointing. And in fact, let's just read a portion of scripture here, or just talk about where it talks about when Samson is being tempted by Delilah, and she's saying, oh, if you just love me, if you just really love me, you would tell me the truth of where your strength lies. And Samson, he knows he's not supposed to tell anybody where his strength comes from, because part of his vow was that he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. And he begins to lie to her and tell her, well, if you just bind me with ropes, if you just do this, that, and the other, that'll have my strength and that I won't be strong anymore. And just to bring this to a close real quickly here, the Bible says that he finally gives in Samson gives in to Delilah and tells her, well, my strength lies in my hair. If you shave my hair off, I'll be as weak as any other man. And so Delilah gets him and puts him to sleep on her lap, and she gets some shears and cuts off his hair. And she tells him, wake up, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Now, this is probably the third time that this had happened before. And he just jumps up and says, I'm gonna just shake myself like I've done two or three other times, and I'm gonna whip those Philistines like I did before. And the Bible says that he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. Do you understand what we're saying here? He didn't even realize that the Spirit of God wasn't upon his life anymore. That's exactly what sin will do to you. If you continue in sin, you'll get to the point where you don't even feel convicted anymore. I was talking to a youth, not anybody in our church right now, but a youth member one time, and I was telling them, you can't partake of those things, it's wrong. And the answer I got was, well, I don't feel convicted over it. But let me tell you something, you don't have to feel convicted over something if it's written in the Bible, thou shalt not. You don't have to say, well, God never told me not to dress that way. God never told me to watch that. But if it's in the Bible, you just need to obey it because it's in the Bible. Amen. Well, I've been preaching 21 minutes. We're going to bring it to a close. If we all could stand tonight, if we could bow our heads and close our eyes, we're going to come to the altar here in just a moment. I want to talk to you real quick here tonight. If you're here and you say, you know, I can relate to Samson's life. I've been dabbling with some things I know I shouldn't be dabbling with. It might not be some humongous sin. It might not be something. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't gone out and defiled myself. But I know I've been tampering with some things that God's told me to stay away from. I know I've been seeing how close to the edge I could get without actually falling off. I know that's me tonight. If you want to raise your hand and say that, that's me. I want to acknowledge that before God. I'm going to do my best not to anymore. Would you just raise your hand tonight? Amen. Appreciate those hands that have been raised. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we all could just come to these altars here tonight and begin to pray for a few moments. We're going to have a few minutes here of prayer, about 20 minutes of prayer and time to just to prepare ourselves for the service tonight. But I encourage you, young lady, young man, if there's any kind of sin in your life, don't leave these altars without having repented of those sins and gotten everything right between you and the Lord. Amen. Let's come here tonight and ask the Lord just to touch our hearts if we could.